I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Learn more about MTN Business at mtnbusiness.co.za. And we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. Now, my guest in the studio today is Andrew Middleton, CEO of Go Solar, which has just published its latest quarterly report on the state of the solar industry in South Africa. Andrew, it's good to see you again. Welcome.
Thank you, Duncan. Great to be here.
Pleasure, pleasure. Now, Go Solar has been going for a couple of years now. It started as a residential solar installer. I think it's still your primary focus. How's the journey been so far?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, we've had everything from early conceptualizing the idea in 2021, 2022 really getting going, and then 2023 just was the boom year for solar. And followed by 2024, which has been a good year, but much, much, much lower volume and contraction. So it's been all the things that we've had to deal with. But yeah, it's been a fascinating journey, and it's really been great to watch the industry grow.
Who are the guys behind Go Solar, and how did they come together?
Oh, it was five of us. It was five individuals from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Three of us had a kind of knew each other before, and I think some links to, you know, historically into fiber to the home industries. Mm-hmm. So those were the three original shareholders, and then we looked for some solar skills, and we were lucky enough to find two great partners in Cape Town.
Okay,
but it was very much a concept. It was a spreadsheet 3 years ago. And now it's a big business. So it's been amazing to watch that journey and to be part of it.
But the lumpiness of this business must make doing business quite difficult. I mean, last year you mentioned you had a record year, and not surprising since big chunks of the year were actually at stage six load shedding, if not worse. This year we've had no load shedding, touch wood, since March. That must make doing business rather difficult, though. I mean, it's a little unpredictable. You've got Eskom one moment at stage six, and now for 200 days, no load shedding at all. How do you manage that as a business?
Well, we're still quite fortunate. I mean, so yes, it's actually solar's lumpier in the bigger projects. So we've always been more B2C, and so we've always had quite a steady run rate.
Okay.
And the run rate has been very steady for the last 6 months, so it's very consistent. And of course, we're we've got a big customer base that helps us support us during the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But we've been fortunate; our volumes have been quite good. I think there's still a lot of appetite for the subscription model, and I think a lot of people are still interested in solar. It's just the decision process is taking a bit longer, so the sales cycle is a lot longer. And actually, it's a great opportunity for us to pivot away from load shedding. We've always wanted to be a solar company, not a load shedding backup company. Right. Some of our competitors are very focused on load shedding backup, and that's good. That works in load shedding times, but solar's got so many other benefits. Mm-hmm. This is a good thing for the industry. Load shedding was a big tailwind, but it was also a bit of a crutch for the solar industry, especially residential, I think.
So are people buying solar now for different reasons than they were a year ago?
Absolutely, yeah.
What are those reasons?
So the reason number one is the financial case. So people see electricity prices. They see the cost of running their diesel, and they want to hedge that in the future. And that is really why solar scales globally. It's the lowest form of daytime power per kilowatt in the world at the moment. Mm-hmm. And with advancements in battery storage, you're now able to offer solar energy. You're now just able to store it and use it. So it's very much a financial case. There's obviously the environmental sustainability case, which will come. And in a lot of advanced economies, that is very much becoming a part and parcel of the offering. And things like electric vehicles and all those things go together and pair very nicely with solar. But really, it's the financial case. Mm-hmm. And look, people still are nervous about unavailability of power. So even though load shedding has not been with us for 200 days, there's still all sorts of things such as load reduction. There's unplanned outages, especially in the city of Johannesburg.
Cable theft.
Mm. So it's got the backup. There's always a bit of a base level demand that is for backup. More and more it's about financial savings, and in the future, hopefully it's about sustainability.
Okay. Are you finding that people do mostly install battery as well, or are you finding some installations are just solar panels?
So it's still – battery's still got a huge demand for battery because of this fear that load shedding comes back, but also because of the ability to store your excess power.
Right.
So most people – I'm not sure if you've got solar at your house. You know that during the middle of the day, your batteries are generally full, and you're not consuming as much as you could be. So with that extra battery, you're able to store some of that energy, so you're getting more out of your system. So it's not just about backup. It's also about optimization.
Okay. Mm. Do you expect load shedding is going to come back?
It's hard to say. I don't think things have fundamentally changed at Eskom, put it that way. I think there have been some improvements in energy availability factors, but what we have seen is the peak demand is significantly lower than it was 5 years ago. And I think that's largely because of rooftop solar, plus the economy and certain things in the mining sector, for instance, it's been well publicized in recession and some of the various minerals. So I think if the economy starts going again, and I'm very positive on the GNU, and hopefully we can get ourselves back to a growth path, we need a lot more power in the country.
Yeah.
And Eskom isn't going to be able to generate that for us because they don't have the balance sheet anymore to produce. So hopefully the private sector continues to grow. Then I think we won't have a generation issue. But in the short term, I think the situation is fragile. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the prognosis is looking much better, which is great news for all of us. Yeah.
Okay, so if we do go into load shedding, it's likely to be fairly limited.
I hope the days of stage 6 and 4 are over. Mm-hmm. Stage 1 and 2 is annoying, but I felt as when it ratcheted it up, it was really when we saw the pain points on our customers, begging for solutions.
Yes.
So let's hope it never comes back. But if it does, I don't expect it to be. I don't expect it to be like 2023.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you find that it's more of the sort of tech geek audience that's going for solar? Do you find that it's guys who are early adopters of technology, like electric cars, like smart home technology, that go for solar, or do you find it's a mix of?
It's now becoming more mainstream, and that's what we wanted with subscriptions. So the product that we launched, the subscription model, was there really to get it mainstream. Solar was getting adopted by either wealthy households or DIY tech geek, and we still have that, but there. Typically, they don't want our solutions, which are very much tailored. We've got a product that we think works for 95% of households and is serviced and maintained. Often you find your DIY, your more tech person actually wants to build their own, and there are lots of offerings out there to customize.
Okay.
I think those early adopters are now are done, and now it's more about becoming a mainstream product. Yeah.
Do you sell subscriptions only, or can I buy a system up front from you?
We have that option as well, but from our belief, really, our philosophy as a company is subscriptions the way to go. It aligns the interests and makes, and solar as a service is what you want. But if we can't convince you, then we can obviously sell it to you as well.
But the vast majority of what you sell is subscription.
Vast majority. Okay. And that was our real model. We didn't come with a rent to own or an outright purchase. We thought that the subscription was the way to go. And now a lot of companies also offer subscriptions. So I hope we've created that category.
Sure. Now, I was very fortunate to participate a few weeks ago in quite an adventure. We drove 5 electric cars across South Africa to test the feasibility of electric cars in driving them some of the more remote parts of South Africa, visiting places like Prince Albert. It was quite an eye-opening experience. But we've seen the president announce that there are possible tax rebates coming, other subsidies coming for buyers of EVs in the future. Presumably details of that will be announced in the next budget, possibly even in the mini budget this week. So that could lead to a spike in demand for electric vehicles. And I think people will be having conversations about how they can charge these at home on their home solar installations. What do they need to know? If you are buying an electric car and you either have solar already or are thinking of putting solar into power this vehicle, what do you actually need to know? Because I know these cars can consume a large amount of electricity. I'm imagining you need quite a large solar system.
You do. So, we probably, if electric cars were more prevalent in South Africa, we'd probably change our product set today. So I think we are already thinking, how do we future-proof the products and upgrade them for electric vehicles? Because our products were very much designed for your 60 to 70% of your household consumption, get from your power plus backup. So when you bring your electric car into the mix, it will become a nighttime consumer of power. Obviously, people need to understand it's not fast charging. You're not filling the battery up from bottom to top. You wouldn't imagine. It's usually people's work commute, which is typically not that much, and it's trickle charging and topping your battery up. So you'd probably need a faster discharge rate, or a bigger capacity of discharge on your inverter. So it might require a bit more of an inverter and a bit more battery, so that you can capture that solar energy during the day and then charge your car when it's back in the afternoon. So I think there'll be some minor tweaks for home solar charging, but electric vehicles and home solar charging go very much hand in hand. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in other markets. It's other markets, solar and EV, it really does. It's a philosophy, it's a sustainable life, and it's also people don't want to charge the electric vehicles that they've bought now with fossil fuels.
Yes.
Plus, your unit costs of solar are so cheap now, and if you build that into the fact, it helps repay that cost of that electric vehicle.
Yeah. But when you say trickle charge is relative. I mean, these vehicles over an AC home outlet can pull 11 kilowatts.
Yeah.
That's quite a significant amount, and 11 kilowatts is a lot of solar panels.
Yeah. So you wouldn't want to charge it that quickly. Mm-hmm. You could, but if you've got 6 to 8 hours to charge it, then you don't have to go that fast.
Okay. I wanted to ask about feed-in tariffs, because it's been in the news again in the last couple of days. We all know that Cape Town is quite well ahead in this regard. We know that Joburg has been making some noise. I think Tshwane has been making some noises as well. What is the current state of feeding back into the grid, and are any of your customers doing it at this stage?
Yes, we've got about 50 customers in Cape Town, so it's still quite small relative to our base.
Okay.
But Cape Town is ahead. It still is an application process. It is still a meter change process. It's a cost involved. You need a new meter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a bidirectional meter that can read both ways, buying and selling. And City of Johannesburg is progressing on this. Tshwane is progressing on this. Everyone is progressing on it. So there are tariffs. I think there's just a couple of legislative blockers that need to be changed, municipal bylaws.
Okay.
And the main issue is who pays for the meter. You know. So if there's clarity and we can get the meter costs down, it's something that we would look to do if we could work with the municipalities to get these electrons into the grid. Then we could look at procurement with the municipality of these meters, because we are in the home, we have installers, but that's probably the biggest inhibitor at the moment. But it's coming. It's just coming slowly.
Yeah. I've heard that these meters can cost 10,000 Rand or more. Why are they so expensive?
It's a good question. We can't figure that out. We've seen meters that do the same job that can cost as little as 2,000 Rand and that have been rolled out internationally. Cape Town's got it down to 6,000 Rand. But in other places, it is 12,000 to 14,000 Rand.
Is that because they subsidize it?
I think I'm not sure exactly what's going on in the background, but I would imagine it's maybe just procuring a different type, or maybe some scale around procurement.
Okay.
I think if we can find the right meter, and we know Cape Town doesn't get a different one to Tshwane or Joburg, let's get one that works nationally and procure that at a national scale. We can probably bring that cost right down.
So it sounds like right now, if you want to do this, you better be in Cape Town.
Yes.
The rest of the country is pretty much not there yet.
Not there yet, no.
Yeah. When do you think Joburg residents are going to be able to feed back?
We were hoping this year, definitely Tshwane and Joburg. Yeah. It's looking like we're nearly at the end of the year and we haven't got it yet. So so the hope is for next year. Interestingly, it's not feeding in, but it's slightly, it's in a similar field, is the whole wheeling concept that I think you would have heard of.
Yes.
I mean, there are other municipalities that are ahead of Cape Town on this, such as George and Nelson Mandela Bay.
Oh, yes.
So, municipalities are really thinking about how you distribute energy a different way and take excess energy from one place and put it somewhere else. So it will happen. I'm like you, I want it to happen really quickly, because I think we estimated with load shedding last year, and obviously battery settings where they were, there was at least 40% on our base of energy that wasn't used last year because we couldn't feed in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a waste when we had a power crisis last year and we had this energy that could have gone into the grid and helped some consumers. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you done any ROI models around whether it makes sense to actually feed back to the grid in Cape Town where you can do it? I mean, 6,000 Rand for a meter.
It's marginal. It's about a 3 to 4 year payback still.
3 to 4 years, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that does make sense. When it was double the cost, it didn't make sense because, 7 to 8 year paybacks just don't make sense. Even a 3 to 4 year payback, if I'm a household, I'm still questioning the decision, because you also need to know what's going to happen with the tariff.
Yes.
So if Cape Town could give a 10-year view or 15-year view on the feed-in tariff, then you can make that 3 to 4 year decision.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't want is you pay your meter back after 3 to 4 years time and they cut the tariff because they don't need the power any longer. So that's also a concern, right?
Yeah.
So we just need some certainty on a feed-in tariff and a long-term certainty Now I think people will do it.
Okay.
We get a lot of interest. A lot of our customers ask us about it and they want to do it. But when we actually see how many we can actually get onto the interfeeding in, it's small.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about your latest quarterly report on the state of solar in state of solar in South Africa. First of all, why do you produce these reports?
It's more. It's all about awareness, really. You know, we got into this industry 3 years ago, and as I say, specifically around residential, it was in its infancy. There was a lot of solar and a lot of tracking on solar from a commercial and from a utility scale. So why we did it was it became very topical. And there was a need for some thought leadership and some proprietary data. So we did it really to really get the information out there mm-hmm. for others to use. Solar has been very topical, especially last year in the boom time. So mm-hmm. we wanted the info out there, and we wanted to also educate people on the other benefits, because it's very much a load shedding product at the moment. It still is. It doesn't matter what people say. They still think about it with load shedding, and it really shouldn't be. So that's really why this latest light paper theme is really about sustainability, because that is something we all need to think about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, take us through the maybe top two or three highlights from the latest report. What have you highlighted?
Well, yeah, I think the highlighting there was really around some of the legislative changes that are there in place. So we've done quite a lot of work around looking at wheeling. That's going to be very interesting. It's going to take some time, but I think the concept of wheeling is going to be very interesting when it comes to looking at grid infrastructure. So we've also focused a lot on grid infrastructure. I think it's very well publicized that our grid has been set up to look after the coal fleet. So you can see it in the north and the eastern part of the country. We've got grid capacity. Actually, where all the power is now going to be generated in the future, we don't have grid infrastructure. So decentralization is going to be very important, and that's also one of the benefits of solar. We've touched on other topics. Air quality, something we're very concerned about. I think there's lots of reports even yesterday of very poor air quality coming into Johannesburg. So, you know, as an environment, we really need to do better, because there is a hidden cost of this pollution. So I think all of our light papers have gone along the various pillars of solar. So we always talk about load shedding because people want to know what our views are there and how long load shedding has been there. We always want to try and give a view on how big the industry is, because the data isn't perfect, but we try and highlight that data. And then the last light paper, we really spoke about the financial case. And then this one, we're really talking about sustainability. There's a lot of other topical there's a lot of content that's going to be coming around tariff reform. This is going to be a big thing. I think you guys published a memo from City of Johannesburg yesterday, and that's going to be very topical. That there is a whole relook. Eskom has requested a whole restructuring of the tariff with NERSA, not just an increase, but also how users of alternative energy sources are charged. And that's going to be very topical, and that's going to need a lot of public input and consultation.
Okay. And there's been a lot of developments over the last year or two, a lot of it I think being driven out of the president's office, Operation Vulindlela, and the reforms to the energy sector in South Africa, and the introduction for the first time of competition to Eskom. It sounds like we're generally moving in the right direction, but do you think there's things that maybe some tricks that we're missing as a country, where we could make some easy wins and we aren't?
No, we definitely moved in the right direction. Obviously, you know, I'm probably a bit biased because I believe very much in solar. So I think there can always be more done to encourage solar and other renewable energies. But I've always said, you know, that a mix is what we need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm definitely not advocating for us to move off other, you know, fossil fuels at this time. I don't think as a country we can do that. Look, I think there's definitely policy shifts that we can make. We can definitely accelerate electric vehicles. There have been some positive steps. We still have very high import tariffs on electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the highest for a major car importer. And I understand there's a legacy industry there that we need to protect, and maybe we just need to try and encourage that industry to start developing electric vehicles. So that's one. I think I've mentioned the scrapping of the rebate on solar panels, where already that was quite a limited rebate anyway.
And it only lasted a year.
So, you know, our energy deficit hasn't ended. We need a lot more power to grow the economy. Mm. I think we can't look at it as a static. We've met demand and supply. Now we have to think 10, 15 years forward. So we have to encourage this. I've mentioned the import. Now there's actually an import tariff on solar panels.
It's been added now on the latest tax year.
So we've gone we've gone opposite. So, you know, we've gone from encouraging incentive to tariff, rebate to tariff.
Why?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to.
Are we protecting a local industry? Is there a local industry to protect?
There are local manufacturers. So, you know, obviously, I want to, you know, respect them, and they've obviously got you know, businesses to look after, and I understand that it's important that local industry is looked after. It's just, it seems like a drop in the ocean for them, but all it is doing is making the cost of solar more expensive. Yeah. I think I've actually seen comment from the local industry saying that 10% isn't going to move the needle for them. So you haven't moved the needle for the local industry.
Just collecting more tax.
Yeah. Well, potentially.
If they sell solar panels.
Yeah, if they sell solar panels. Yeah.
What's happening with solar panel prices? I know the prices crashed last year.
Just crashed.
Are they still crashed?
Very, very, very cheap at the moment. Okay. So if you know, now's the time.
Even with the extra taxes.
Yeah, look, I think there is a global oversupply. You know, there's a lot of capacity globally. So, you know, the technology is just...
And really, it's all coming out of China.
There are other places. Yeah. India is actually making modules. The US is making modules, but China has definitely got the most capacity.
Yeah.
And then I think there's still an oversupply in the local market. I think last year during the boom time, there was a shortage. I can't believe we can now just get our hands on solar panels whenever we want. Last year, they were like hen's teeth. So everyone imported. And unfortunately, as all the big ships arrived, the market slowed down. So.
Do you have any numbers on the total number of homes that have deployed solar in South Africa to date? I know there's figures around the energy potential of these panels. I think it's, 5.9 gigawatts have installed?
Yeah.
Rooftop solar?
5.9 is the total industry. That includes commercial.
Okay.
We've done our own. It's unfortunately not, you know, not enough science behind it, but we think, based on industry estimates, about 10 to 15% of that 6 gigs is residential. So now you're dealing with 700 megawatts of residential, roughly.
Okay.
And if we take our average install capacity that we see, then that's about 140,000 to 150,000 homes. That's it, yeah.
So the market potential is still huge.
The market potential is huge. Mm-hmm. A lot of people last year during the crisis, they didn't get solar. They got some other form of backup, whether it be, you know, the small portable batteries or just an inverter.
I think everyone starts there, yeah.
Yeah. So there's plenty left in the local market. So we're excited about that. We're just excited to shift away from the crisis,
Okay, so even if load shedding stays abated, things are looking good.
The solar industry will be here to stay.
Okay. Sure. I wanted to ask, I mean, a lot of talk about embedded generation by communities, and we've seen, I think you mentioned actually at the press conference about your latest report, you mentioned the Free State town of Frankfurt, which has deployed quite a large solar installation. The community built that. Is that the future of energy supply, do you think? I mean, as grids become more unreliable, certainly we're seeing that here in Johannesburg, do you think more and more communities are going to band together to build these sort of infrastructures?
Well, I think it's possible. I think you can see already businesses, agricultural, you know, farms are doing it. I think households are doing it. So I think it just makes sense to have some decentralized energy, you know, not reliant on a power line falling down or a power plant. So I think it has to be part of the mix. I don't think it's something that we're all going to become self-sustaining. I think that doesn't make sense. We've got a grid that needs to be looked after. We've got a lot of power generation that Eskom's got for us. We need to use that. I think we just need to grow our power use, which means more factories, more jobs, more everything. But I think having some distributed power in the mix, self-generation, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean imagine places like golf estates and that sort of thing, where they've got a lot of land available to them.
They've got a lot of land and, you know, a lot of big, high-density residential where you don't have roofs have got parking issues. You've got all the parking in the middle and, you know, solar panels make great carports. Mm. So, you know, there's plenty of use cases. There's lots of good use cases coming out in Europe around where you can put the panels so that you can find dead space to generate. You know, there's pilots on making, you know, bike lanes in the middle of roads and to cover cyclists and, you know, even, you know, new types of photovoltaic installations into window panes and all sorts of interesting things. Yeah.
Have you done any work around residential complexes and that sort of thing, estates?
We do.
I imagine it's a lot more complicated than just going into a single dwelling.
It is.
Because you're dealing with bodies corporate and lots of admin and red tape, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, we do that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the initial focus because of what you said. We wanted to get to scale and we went to the single house where there's a decision made quite quickly. But obviously, a lot of these are these multi-dwelling units are bigger installations, bigger deals. So it's worth spending the time, but it does take time. So it's a different sell completely.
Yeah. Okay. So then, Andrew, just finally, what's the outlook like for solar in South Africa? I mean, you seem bullish despite the suspension of load shedding. What's the market opportunity for Go Solar in the coming years?
Yeah, we see it. We're looking 5-10 years ahead, and we see the opportunity. Our vision is that there should be solar in every home. So we see no reason why at least some of the power generation in the country, whether you be a business or home, shouldn't be generated yourself. It makes sense just with the sunny conditions we've got. I think the rest of the year is going to be very much like the last 6 months, which is fine. I think the industry is settling down in terms of steady run rates. I think the players that are in there have got used to the fact that this is now the demand for now. And, you know, we need to find other catalysts on how we educate the market. And I think, obviously, price increases will be another catalyst. And that looks like it's, you know, we should have a decision by the end of the year or January on that. But it's also about, it's not just about what Eskom does with prices. It's also how solar companies optimize and show value to their customers. Yes. And I think that's going to be it's going to almost be the second phase of it. Is right now it was establishing and getting systems built. And now it's about making sure that they perform efficiently.
Okay.
Because just getting set up for power backup isn't efficient use of the solar energy. It's now getting it to be used all the time and getting it, you know, changing behavior in households so that they see the financial benefits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know when I installed solar at home, it triggered a smart home project, which was a very deep rabbit hole that I went down. I'm still trying to figure out some of the software and tools around it. But it was very interesting because it gave me a very good insight into how my house is using energy. You know, I put in a smart geyser system. I no longer have my geyser on all the time, et cetera, et cetera. So it really helped me manage that. Do you see a similar sort of trend after you've done a project like this? And I know that smart home technology is not for everybody. You have to be fairly tech savvy to deploy this infrastructure. Is there an opportunity for the market, for Go Solar in particular, to offer smart home solutions as an option?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're working on something to enable that.
Okay.
So we're not sure how far we'll go into smart home, but we want to enable the smart home. You know, we think power is the backup, but using the power when you've got it. So making sure there's no mismatch between your consumption and your production.
Right.
That's the key for us. Mm-hmm. Water heating, there's a lot of good solutions out there. We want those solutions to work with our systems and our solar users. But that's the obvious one. So even if you're not tech savvy, you should still be managing when you heat your water up because that makes the biggest difference by far.
And you don't even have to go solar for that. You just literally can put a smart geyser timer on your geyser. Yeah.
So that's often one of the benefits we don't talk about is actually having visibility on when you use power. Mm. We don't talk about that enough is that's a real cool factor about getting the app and seeing. Normally you get your bill and you have no insight. Yeah. Now you actually have insight into one of your biggest costs at home, which is electricity.
Andrew Middleton is co-founder and CEO of Go Solar. Thanks so much for sharing these great insights with the Tech Central audience today. It's much appreciated.
Thanks for having me, Duncan.
Thanks, Andrew.
Cheers.